Book of Revelation, 22nd chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night there, no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness to us and all you've done for us. And Lord, all the blessings you've bestowed upon us. Once again tonight, we need your power. We need your wisdom. We just need you tonight, Lord, as this preacher preaches. God, you give him what he needs, and Lord, to help him give to the people what is needful from the Word of God. And we just ask that you take it and use it to your glory. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're coming to the last chapter of the book of Revelation. And I think finally, as you studied chapter 21 and you get into chapter 22, I think finally we can comprehend to some degree a little bit of the measure of what God talked about when he called it eternal life, the unspeakable gift. It's going to be something, folks. And I do not have the ability to give the words out that ought to be given to even to some degree describe what it's going to be like. It's going to be so amazing. So wonderful. And so I think we can kind of understand a little bit, though, of this unspeakable gift that God has for us, for a group of people who were unspeakable sinners, who deserved eternal death, and God instead gave unto them eternal life. It's an amazing thing that he's done for us. And having heard and believed the word of life, which is a wonderful thing because that's what it took for you to hear and believe to get saved. The Bible gives us a truth that we have been able to take here of the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and feast on him, take of him, take of the water of life that God has given us, and he gives in turn eternal life. It's amazing. And the more I read about what heaven's going to be like, just the little that we understand, I am amazed, and I'm thrilled, and I'm thankful that I get to be there. I'm just very grateful that God would care enough to say, Bob, Ross, it's okay if you come to heaven. You can spend eternity with me. And that to me is very, very special. Amen. And I'm sure it is to you too, because just knowing the fact that after all of this down here, we'll never have to face anything like this again. Never have to live in the presence of sin ever, ever, ever again. And so that just makes things okay. That makes it all worthwhile. Makes every day you have to live and see what's going on down here, it's okay, because you know what? There's coming a day when all of that's going to be over. It's going to be behind us, and we'll get to see his lovely face. You notice in verse 1, he says, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's interesting to me because chapter 21, you'll notice that God mainly talked about the outside of the city. Describing the city, described the walls, and described the foundation, described a little bit of the city, and did peek inside once and talk about the street of the city, which was pure gold, pure as crystal, talked about it. But now he begins to go inside and to show us some things that are inside that city. And first thing he talks about here, he says, is the water of life, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know, I read an article just the other day, the Danube River, and I can't remember in what area that leakage was. Maybe somebody else read it also, but the Danube River, there was cyanide leaked into the Danube River, and over 80% of the fish died. And said it may take, of course this is an estimate, it may take up to 10 years to recover from that part of the river there may take up to 10 years to recover. Don't understand all those things, but it was a terrible tragedy. And I was thinking about here where God talked about his pure river. You can't hardly find a stream anymore that's very pure and clear. You used to be able to. The mountain streams and things like that was clear, and I'm sure they wasn't as pure as God's river is pure, but they was fairly clear and fairly pure, but you don't hardly find that anymore with all the waste and things that's dumped into our rivers today. But God has a wonderful river that is going to be pure and clear, coming right out of the throne of God. I'm going to give you just a couple of thoughts concerning that. If we go back to John, the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, verse number 10, he says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Turn over to John, the 7th chapter. Let me just read a couple of verses. 7th chapter, verse number 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." You notice in that verse in 38, he says, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture said, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And I wondered here in verse number 1 of chapter 22, where he talked about back in John about the living waters. You notice he says it'll proceed out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And I wonder here maybe if the waters that are coming forth, this wonderful river, is not maybe sent forth by the Holy Spirit of God. We know there's God the Father, there's God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Back here in John, he spoke of the living waters that would come flow forth from our bellies, and he said, "I speak of the Holy Spirit of God." And I wondered about that. I don't know what degree all of that is, but I know a lot of people's got in their minds that they may sit on the river of life and sit there with a fishing pole. Fishermen, I want to tell you something. I don't think you'll be doing any fishing in the river of life. I, first of all, don't think there'll be any fish in there. Now, the reason I'm saying that, because the Bible says there's no sea in the new creation, and I doubt very much that God's going to put a fish in his living waters that flows from the throne. Now, if you want to believe they are, it's okay with me, and you'll get to heaven, you'll find out they aren't, but it'll be all right. But anyway, regardless, it's nice to dream about, maybe, but I've just got a real hunch that some of the things that we think about when we think about heaven, we don't have the slightest idea what we're thinking about. I think about the no night there, and I think about the continual activity that God will have us be doing, and we're going to find out we'll be serving Him and all these things. Folks, we're not going to go over to our mansion as the lights glow dim, because they'll never grow dim, and go over and kick our feet up on a hassock and watch TV. That's not going to be it. That has nothing to do with heaven. And it isn't heaven here either, let me say that. But, you know, we kind of think like rest, you know, and I want to talk about rest in a few minutes there, but it's going to be so much different. You're not going to need the physical rest that we talk about now. We don't need that kind of physical rest because there'll be no night there, God says. And you'll have a body that'll just go on and on and on and on throughout all the ages of eternity. And it'll just go on, you know. It won't be like it is now. Some of you are getting sleepy, getting tired now, you know. You won't go home, go to bed, but you won't have to worry about that then, see. And one of these days, it'll be a wonderful thing, you see. But he says there, the river that flows out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, we're gonna see on down, it talks about that the throne of God and the Lamb are there within that city. God has set up a throne of himself and the Lamb right in that city. It's an amazing thing. I can't comprehend all these things. But all I know is it's going to be wonderful. And I just want to be there, amen? I just want to be there in the midst of it, be a part of it, and enjoy it. Notice in verse 2, he says, in the midst of the street of it, he said, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Here again, it tells us about in the midst of the street, that great street he talked about earlier over in chapter 21, about, he said it was a golden street. He says right in the midst of it, like in the middle of it, there's going to be trees right down through the middle of it. He said this river, there's going to be trees on each side of the river, you see, and they're going to be a special kind of tree. They're going to be the tree of life. You remember back in the book of Genesis, maybe it'd be good if we turn back there, but the book of Genesis, the third chapter, you remember where we first saw the tree of life? Verse 22 of chapter 3, he says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now at least he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God had put a tree of life in the garden of Eden. You're familiar with that. He did not tell Adam and Eve they could not eat of the tree of life. That was for them to eat of. But as soon as they sinned, they no longer could eat of the tree of life. The problem was, if they eat of the tree of life in their sinful bodies, they would live forever in those sinful bodies. I just want to say something. Thank God that he put cherubims out there and turned everybody away from the tree of life. I wouldn't want to live in this body forever. No, sir, I wouldn't want to do that. And God kept them from it. And so he turned them from the tree of life. Some way God has set this up as the tree of life has life, as eternal life-giving qualities. It's a wonderful thing. I don't understand at all of why the necessity to eat of the tree of life. Maybe it isn't even necessity. Maybe it'll be just such a pleasure for us to partake of the tree of life. But God has tree of life all through the new Jerusalem, lining the riverbanks on both sides, down through the midst of the street. You'll be able to go along and pluck some fruit and eat some fruit. I don't think you'll have to eat to pertain to keep life physically going. I think that will go, but you will enjoy eating. God will want us to eat of the tree of life. And he says, not only do you eat of it, he said, I'm going to give you some variety. He said, I'm going to give you 12 different months. There'll be a new variety every month. And so it'll be just something special that God has done. I personally, as I said, there's so many things I used to think I just knew it all. I found out in the latter years I don't hardly know anything. I don't really know hardly anything anymore about the Word of God. There's so much I don't know. The more I know, the less I know. But all I know is these little particular things. It just gives me food in my heart to maybe imagine a little bit what God is going to do for us. I think about walking down that street. I think about eating that fruit, plucking it off of those trees. I think about those things. God's given me the privilege of going to be able to do that, see. I just think that's wonderful. I think that's good. But I can't describe all the reasons and the whys of all everything because he hasn't told me. Maybe he's told somebody else, but he hasn't told me all those things. But he's told me what he's going to do. And I believe exactly what God's going to do. I believe exactly those trees, that river is going to come out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I believe the river is going to flow down. I believe the trees are going to be each side of that river, just like God said. I believe in the middle of that street, there's going to be trees of life right down through the midst of that street, just like God said. And it's just going to be something marvelous and wonderful that God has prepared for us. And he tells us that there are 12 manner of fruit and yield her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The word healing there could be translated health or the health of the nations, or it could be translated service, for the service of the nations. I read an interesting comment by Vernon McGee. Most of you probably have heard Vernon McGee. Vernon McGee's a good Bible teacher. He's doing it on tape now. He's in heaven now, and he knows all the truth now. Or he may not have known it all then. I don't know. But I always enjoy reading him and reading what he has to say about things. And he had the idea, and please, this is Vernon McGee's thought, okay, so don't grab it and run with it. Vernon McGee kind of thought maybe that there'd be two different kind of bodies, the ones that lived on earth and ones that lived in heaven. The ones that lived in heaven, the Bible says, we're going to have bodies likened unto Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. We will have. That's all there is to it. There won't be no doubt about it. He thought they might be a little bit different type of bodies of the people who live on the earth, the inheritance of the earth, and then they may need renewed from time to time, he said, and so they may have to come up, and the healing of the leaves, the health of the leaves there on the trees is for them. I don't know what it is. Maybe you can figure it out. You tell me what it is. But God says that there's the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And, of course, we read about the nations on up in chapter 21 there that would come forth, present themselves, come into the great city and all of that, back and forth, you know, into the city, bring their glory and honor. And, of course, that's just God's glory and honor they bring there. And so, anyway, they come forth there, and he says for the healing, the leaves are used for the healing or the health or the service of the nations. Now, he goes on and tells us, and there shall no more, he says, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Again, it's hard for us to imagine an earth that has no more curse on it. I mean, there'll be no more weeds, there'll be no thistles, there'll be no more diseases. There'll be no more sickness whatsoever. There'll be nothing contrary to God's glory whatsoever. It'll just be a perfect place with the curse completely removed off of it. This earth is cursed now with a curse. And that'll be completely removed off. There'll be no more curse. And you notice as he says there that and his servants shall serve him. Again, I sit and I wonder and I think about, what will I do to serve my God? All I do know is this, whatever I do, it'll bring joy to my heart. Whatever God gives me to do, it'll bring joy to my heart. All I know also is that I will willingly serve him. There will be no rebellion whatsoever in my heart or anyone else's heart in heaven. We will be glad to serve him just as God gives to us to serve him. And not only that, it'll be a rewarding service. All just being there is going to be rewarding. But I believe God will reward his servants all throughout the ages of eternity just for his service unto him. Again, it's pretty hard to understand. What will we be doing throughout all the ages of eternity? I think when God made the first man and gave him a helpmeet, he gave him dominion over all the things that he had made. He gave Adam dominion over all things he had. What would he do for his servants? What would he do? What would he do for those who are going to reign with him throughout all the ages of eternity? Will there be expanding galaxies? Will there be expanding areas that God will allow us to be a help and a service? I don't know. All I know is God is an always ongoing God. I believe personally, I believe this, I believe the galaxies right now are expanding continually. I don't think it ever stops. God is an expanding God. God does not stop and become stagnant. God is God. And he is so great that it's beyond anything that we can ever understand. But what will he have each one of us do? All I know is this. I believe just like down here, only differently, he's got a job for everybody. And I believe down here, he's got a job for everybody. I believe he's got something for every one of his children. I believe he had something planned for even those who would not accept him. I believe in the plan of God. God had something for them, and they rejected it. But I know that God has a special plan, and I wish we could get that over to every single individual. Oh, it may not be some great big plan that we might think of, but God has a plan for every single individual upon the face of this earth. And I believe the same thing is true when we get to heaven. I believe God has a special service for us to do when we get to heaven. It's very special and it's very personal. It'll be something that he will give us to do. What all that is, I don't know. But I know we're going to do it for eternity, and it won't be boring. It'll be a joyful time, and we'll be willingly doing it, and we'll be rewarded for it. So just remember, it's a wonderful place that God is going to give us, and also we're going to be able to serve him. Then notice he says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. You know, I looked up in the Bible in concordance, and I was thinking about the face of the Lord, and I looked back and I found out in the Bible there was quite a few different places where the people of God at different times had requested that the face of the Lord shine upon them. He wanted them to shine upon him. I think I would like that, don't you? I think I would like the face of the Lord to shine upon me. I think that would be good. I notice other times in the Bible, there was different times when he says that he will hide his face from us. Now, I don't think I'd like that. I don't want God to hide his face from me. But he does. He hides his face at different times. Even sometimes from his own people, he hides his face from them, especially when they're in sin. He hides his face from them. Not only that, in the book of Psalms, the face of the Lord, the Bible says there, is against them. Not only hide his face from them, but the face of the Lord is against them. There again, I wouldn't want God's face against me. And again, in the book of Psalms, we are told to seek his face. Seek the face of the Lord. We're told also in the book of Matthew, up on the Mount Transfiguration there, we are told his face did shine as the sun. Shined as the sun. We find in the book of John, there in the grave, that his face was bound with a napkin. We find in the book of Revelation, there was those back in, I think it was the sixth chapter, you remember back when those who ask the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them, to hide themselves from his face. I don't know. Hide yourself from his face. Can you imagine that? The face of God, the face of Jesus must be really something. And then we find the book of Revelation, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled. Earth and the heavens fled away from his face. And yet, you know what he says? We'll see his face. We'll see his face. Why? I can't imagine seeing the face of God. I'll tell you what, if you find me around heaven someplace and you're going to look at me and say, Brother Ross, you didn't deserve to get here, and I'll say, Amen, you're right. You say, how'd you ever get into heaven? I'm going to tell you, Jesus did it for me. So I'm going to tell you. He's the only one that, and if I find you running around heaven, you'll tell me the same thing. Say, Jesus done it. You notice there in that verse of Scripture, he says, his name shall be on their foreheads. Say, why was you here, Brother Ross? Right there. See that name there? That's why I'm up here. That's why I made it. See that name? His name. Be on my forehead. Don't understand all that. Amen. But he'll be there. His name will be on my forehead. That'd be wonderful, run around heaven. Amen. And his name. And did you know what that means? I'm his forever. His name right there on my forehead. I mean, they don't, nobody can take that off. I'll be his forever. I mean, I'll belong to him. He put his brand on me. Amen? And we'll be there forever. See his face and have his name on our forehead up there in that wonderful Jerusalem, the place that God has made for us. What a marvelous thing it is. And then he says, and there shall be no night there. They need no candles, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know, the very nature of life, and that's where I told you I wanted to kind of talk about rest for just a few moments. Go back over to the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. I was thinking about that. I thought about being in heaven and all those things and what will we be doing, and I really don't know what we'll be doing, but I know this, that the very nature of eternal life, the very nature that God gives us, the nature of it is rest. It's like being at rest. There'll be no more toiling. I'm talking about the toiling that we know of. All anything that we will do will be in the it will be in the nature of rest. We'll enter into rest with God. That's what I'm saying. I don't believe we're going to be sitting around the river of life with our feet up. It's not that time. But just the nature of eternal life is rest, peace. There's so much turmoil in this life today. Everywhere you go, there's just turmoil and troubles and trials. And you get up one day and you don't know what's going to face you that next day. Something comes at you, this. You'll never have to worry about that in heaven. The very nature of it will be rest in God Almighty. So I believe that's wonderful. I think it's a marvelous, wonderful thing, you see. There'll be no night there. No, no night. No candle. You won't need a candle. You're just be in the shining glory of God's glory throughout all the ages of eternity. He'll be the one that lights it all up, so there'll be no night there. See, you won't need any candle. And if you notice there, he said, then we'll reign with him forever and ever. And you just have to take the ever and ever and explain it the way you want to explain it. I had a guy ask me one time, he said, well, where did God come from? And I said, he always has been. He said, but I know, but it had to start somewhere. I said, no, sir, it didn't start somewhere. He said, there's nothing that don't start somewhere. I said, oh, yes, there is. There's God. And you know what? Can you explain that? You think back, say, well, where did all this start from? Where did God come from? He just always been. You say, he couldn't always been. Yes, he could. He always has been. You can't figure it out. We can't figure that out. You see, it's too above our mind. And we can't figure out forever and ever either. You can't figure out nothing ever ending. Everything ends around here. You can't figure that out. Don't try to figure it out. Just know that it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and never ending. Amen. That's our God. If God should ever end, we'll end. But he can't end. Amen. So this thing is kind of a long-term thing. Amen. I mean, figure out you're in this for the endurance. Amen. You're not going to get out of it. It's going to be forever and ever and ever and ever. See? And what a wonderful place that God has prepared for us. I want you to just notice. Let's go back just real quickly over to the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter of Isaiah. Verse 19, 60th chapter of Isaiah. Just want to read this to you real quick because God had told his children Israel about this long, long time ago. Verse 19, he says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Folks, there won't be any mourning. I don't know what would be troubling your heart right now, but more than likely, every person in here has some troubling in their heart. More than likely. If they don't have anything great big, they've got some little things that face them. There's always a troubling that comes into our lives that'll all be ended. I guess I'm stressing that for this reason. Folks, all that we might ever go through down here, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Just keep that in mind. There's coming a day when you're going to be given that gift of eternal life. We have it now, but you'll experience it forever and ever. It'll all be behind you. Amen. So keep that in mind. As a preacher, I try to point my people to the hereafter, the after. You've got to keep your mind on the after. If you don't, folks, we're all in trouble. We get to looking at day's troubles and heartaches. I want to tell you right now, they'll tear you apart. You've got to just keep remembering, yes, but one of these days, all that'll be over. We'll be over on the other side. You see, that'll be behind us, see. And we'll be over on the other side with Jesus. And then he says in verse number 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. You know, he said that as a reminder to us. Folks, everything that God speaks is true. That's why it's so dangerous to mess around and fool around with God's Word. You've heard me more than once throughout the study in the book of Revelation say to you, I've said it more than once, I've said to you, if Bob Ross is wrong on a little point, it's Bob Ross that's wrong, it's not God wrong. I mean, there's some things that we try to figure out sometimes, think maybe this would be that way or that way. We know what the Bible says, and that's what it is, exactly. God's witness is true and faithful. You see, man can mess things up, maybe not even on purpose. They just don't understand all that God has planned. But let me say to you, God's Word is faithful and true. And that's why it's dangerous to all these translations. You just get yourself in a mess when you start getting into them. You see, they start cutting the Word of God and taking things out of the Word of God. You remember how this book began? Because that's what he said here, and I'm going to read verse 6 again. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Over in verse number 1 of chapter 1, he said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That's the very first verse of the book of Revelation. And he's reminding back here in chapter 22, he's reminding that he had sent an angel to show us which things should shortly come to pass. You know, right now to us, we look at it and we say, well, it seems like a long time. But in God's eyes, this thing has shortly come to pass. If you begin in chapter 2 and begin at the beginning of the church age, which God shows us the church age in chapter 2 and chapter 3, you'll notice, well, church age has been for 3,000 years already. We know, 2,000 years. We know that the millennial reign will be another 1,000 years. So that's, even if it ends now, that's 3,000 years. We know that the tribulation period will be 7 years. So there's another 7 years. So there's 3,007 years. And God refers to this, all this book of Revelation, all he's talking about here. He said, it'll be done in just a short time. You see, a day with the Lord is just 1,000 years. And so it's only been, since the church age, it's only been 2 days. It's been a couple of days with God. And so he's saying to us, it'll shortly come to pass. And then he says something wonderful there in verse 7. He says, behold, I come quickly. You notice he says that, we won't go read him, but in chapter 22 he says that 3 times. He says it in this verse, in verse 7, he says it in verse 12, and he says it in verse 20. I come quickly. He's reminding us as a people. Don't you think through all the ages, as people have been reading this from the Bible throughout all the ages, they read that and say, he's coming soon. And I want to tell you, we've got good reason to say he's coming soon. We're seeing things that the other ages has never seen. We cannot say, will it be today, will it be tomorrow? Oh, we cannot say that, but Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and he will. He'll come in just a short time, you see. And whenever that is, let's just be ready for him. Let's be serving him, being faithful to him. I think that's one of the things that you want to be. I want you to be. I want you to just be faithful to Jesus when he comes. In whatever God has given you, just be faithful at it. Just serving, just loving, just walk with him. And when he comes, just finds you that way, just serving the Lord, loving the Lord, being faithful in what he's given you to do. That's the way we want to be found. Behold, he says, I come quickly. And he says, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I probably should have told you, but over in chapter 1 again, I don't know whether you turned or not, but chapter 1, look what he said in verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You know, if you will read the book of Revelation, God said, who will read it, who will hear it, is blessed. Now, it's good for you and I to read the book of Revelation. It's good that your preacher preached through the book of Revelation. It's good. It was blessings for you and blessings for me. God said that in his word. It has blessed us. So many people want to stay away from that wonderful book. Don't stay away from that wonderful book because you're afraid you don't understand it. Read it and let God, the Holy Spirit, help you to understand it and just read it. Oh, there's so many blessings in there. And that's what he was talking about here. Keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The word keepeth there in the first verse, and over here in chapter 22, in verse number 7, he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of the book speaks of guarding it, holding fast it. And he was, we just want to keep it exactly the way God said it. We want to guard it. We want to preach it. We want to teach it. We want to read it. We want to believe it. We want to hold it fast, just like God said. And he said, blessed is those that do that. So you hold fast the book of Revelation. You hold fast the truths out of God's word. You just believe them. May not understand all the details and how he's going to figure it all out, how it's going to come on out. But you just believe it. Whatever it says, you believe that that's exactly the way it's going to be because God Almighty has said it. Amen? Why? Because he says, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming again. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for the wonderful book, the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for the wonderful truths concerning heaven at New Jerusalem, that place where you're prepared for us. Thank you, Father, for doing that for us. And thank you, Lord, that to one of these days we'll be able to step into thy presence and spend all of eternity with you. Thank you for that promise of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.